Okay. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Tavshin Samach Tes for the last time. Our subject today is the ideas in the Shmoneh Esrei, the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and understanding that first insertion, which is Zachreinu L'Chaim. I just want to mention that a while ago, we did a class, which is online on the OU website, that goes through the specific details of the structure of the Shmoneh Esrei, explaining exactly how it was put together. It's technical, but it's very eye-opening. We're not going to spend time on that now. If anybody's interested, that's already there. What we're going to do today is try to get an understanding of what should be in our minds while we're davening Shmoneh Esrei, because Rosh Hashanah, as we've spoken about so often, is the day where the only thing we really can do, we don't even do vidui, we don't even confess our sins, we're not allowed to do that in the tefillah. The only thing we can do in Rosh Hashanah is have the right kavanas, serve Hashem with our mind. We have to say the words of Malchios Zichronos and Shofros, but obviously saying the words without having any intention is just a waste of everybody's time. It's just mumbling. And hearing the shofar is a mitzvah, but it's something that happens to us. You know, Pesach we eat the matzahs and we make a seder, and Sukkot you sit in a sukkah and you have a lulav and an esrog, and there's what to do. But on Rosh Hashanah, there's nothing tangible. All a person can do is serve Hashem through their intentions that they have during the time that they're coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hearing the shofar and davening about the shofar and davening about the Hashem's remembrance and remembering the bris. So our job is to know what should be in our heads. Okay? And in order to start with a basic understanding of the nature of Rosh Hashanah and what Hashem is judging us on and what we should be thinking of and how to, I guess, improve the possibility of a good judgment, we start with understanding the nature of the day, and we go back to that original Rashi that you've heard a million times. Okay, when it says Bereishis Bara Elokim, and Rashi says it doesn't say Bara Yudke Vavke, which is Rachamim, it rather says Din. You know this Rashi. You probably know it by heart. So, but Allah b'machshava, b'tchila, in the beginning, without going into the questions of chronology, it wasn't a trial and error, obviously it's telling us something else. Allah b'machshava levrosu b'midas adin, Hashem intended, or there was a machshava, there were to create the world in midas adin. Rosh ein olam eskayim, he saw that it wouldn't last, so he incorporated, he introduced, he preceded the din with chesed. Shitafimo midas arachamim, he brought rachamim to be attached to the din, and that's what it says later on, not bereishis bara elokim, but rather b'yom asos, instead of bria it's asiya, Hashem elokim eretz v'shamayim. That's the Rashi. So we've spoken about this. We actually at one point talked about a profound idea from Rav Sender Misatanov, my husband's great-grandfather, but we're going down a different road now. Simple, basic. Sometimes the most basic thing is the most beautiful and the most truest idea. Really, the objective of this world is midas adin. Now, din means, as we said, justice, but it also means absolute truth. Now, in order to understand the importance of midas adin, which is the anniversary of Rosh Hashanah represents this original creation which took place with these two ideas, din and chesed. The concept of din, which we revisit on Rosh Hashanah, is that a basic fundamental principle of this world, of how this world runs and why this world runs, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world to do good to the Brias, to us, to give us schar. However, we have a principle, and we experience this in our real physical day-to-day life, but we're hardwired to understand this viscerally, that nobody likes to get anything for free. It's called, the terminology we use is nama de chasufa, you know, a free gift, bread of embarrassment, because it's embarrassing to have to be a taker, to take what we haven't earned, to take what we didn't work for. And you know this is true. Every human being, especially, for example, when people get older and they become dependent on others, it is such a source of pain and anguish to not be independent, to have to take, to have someone else make our decisions and give us what we need instead of choosing and actualizing our own, you know, humanity, which is independence. It's terrible to take something we don't deserve, to take a gift, to take a handout. And you want to know something? The more sometimes you do chesed to a person, the more they get annoyed at you. And the more they, you know, they have a hard time being grateful. It's very difficult because it brings out such a terrible feeling in the person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us great tzchar. We've talked about what tzchar is, a reunion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Shechina, knowledge, das. We've spoken all about that. The Rambam in the end of Hilchos Tshuva speaks about it. In any case, so Hashem wants us to earn it, to earn our tzchar, to earn it legitimately, so that when He gives us the tzchar, it will be something we can accept and feel that it's coming to us. Now, we know in Hilchos Tzedakah that the second highest form of tzedakah is to give anonymously. So there's no direct embarrassment, but it doesn't take away the embarrassment of being a taker. So the highest form of tzedakah is not to give anonymously. The highest form of tzedakah is to give a person a job. Exactly. Because when you give a person a job, then they work, let's say, 40 hours a week. And they do their job perfectly. They do their job perfectly. They're an excellent employee. So at the end of the week, when the boss writes them the check for $1,000, let's say, that every penny is earned. There's no chesed involved in paying this person their salary. They walk away with their head held high. And this establishes the covet of a human being. And the person truly appreciates what they worked for, the sense of achievement, and the schar, the payment that they get is 100% theirs. That's called midas hadin. That you get what you deserve, that you earned, which is coming to you without any chesed involved at all. But here's the problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us schar in that way, which means, though, that our thought, our speech, and our action, the three madrigas in which we operate, have to be, you know, in operation correctly. We have to earn our schar, which means our thoughts have to be in order, which means our thoughts have to be about the theoretically imperfection, right? About HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not about us all day long. Not about ourselves all day long. Or our thoughts have to be about things that are important and timeless and eternal and not about finite, temporary, irrelevant things. Our thoughts have to be of Avas Hashem and Yirah Shemayim and not about other things, opposites of those things. Our thoughts have to animate our actions, that the actions we do have to have behind them thought that makes them eternal actions and not temporary actions. So our thought, there's a whole arena of our thought that has to be in order. And then our speech. Our speech, we have to speak about things in perfection, theoretically, that all have to do with MS and are true, and all our words have to build and have to increase the awareness of Hashem in the world, and do chesed, and not be about devarim betalim, not be about nothing, and nonsense, and stupidity. So our word, and no lashon hara, and no sheker, there's a whole world that affects the way we speak. That has to be in order. And then our actions, all our actions have to be correct actions, and l'shem shamayim actions. So in order to live on that level, and there are people that go through the madrigas and get closer and closer in all these areas. And some people are better in here, little, you know, we have moments and we have spaces, we have, you know, moments of success. But all of that allows us to earn our schar, and the schar is ours, b'midas hadin. But in the example of giving a person a job, let's say you want to give a person a job so they should be independent. However, there's a major problem. The person is not even capable yet of holding that job because they can't read, they can't write, they have no social skills, okay? They don't know how to do the task at hand, okay? They don't know what the obligations of an employee are, to show up on time, to be obedient, to take the tasks that are assigned, to get along. They're not even capable of taking the job yet. They haven't been trained in all the necessary ingredients that come into play prior to being able to take the job. So how do you make that person independent? So first you have to begin to educate them, to teach them how to read, and to teach them how to write, and to teach them how to get dressed, and teach them how to be on time, and to teach them what the job entails and how to interact with a boss. Now, going through the effort of training the person so they can keep a job, that's the chesed. That's Rashi. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the world to be in a midas hadin, that everyone should earn their schar legitimately because they earned it, because they did the avoda, they did the work. But he saw that it's not possible because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with the Yetzirah. So it's not necessarily, we have Bechira, which makes us like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the godly aspect of a person, as we've spoken about, is the capacity to choose. So since we have the capacity to choose, and we have the Yetzirah, which another word of saying the Yetzirah is the Anochi, my agenda, my perspective, my passions, what I want, how I want to do things, what I want to experience, what will fulfill me, etc., etc. The Anochi, the small Anochi, that makes it very, very difficult for a person to do their job. So first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to introduce a huge universe of chesed to get us to the point where we are willing to do this job and dedicated to the job. So where is that expressed in history? Once the Klal Yisrael start forming, Avram and Sarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees in them a potential that this might be the Or LaGoyim, the light to the nations that will bring everyone else back to their Tachlis, which is what we daven for in Rosh Hashanah. Because as we've spoken about here, you know, it's striking to say, it's kind of jarring to hear, but we all know it in our heart of hearts, and of course it's the history of the world. There never was meant to be a Jewish people, a single nation, 10 people walking around knowing what they're supposed to do and why they're here, and a billion people wasting their time and living in oblivion for nothing. Obviously that wasn't the plan. The Jewish people are the saving grace of the rest of the world. The fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the world going, waiting for someone who would take upon themselves the role of Av Hamon Goyim, bringing everyone else back, and that's the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in Klal Yisrael a people that might do this job on a national level and, of course, on an individual level. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts doing all the chesed to bring these people, us, to a position where we're capable of saying Nasa V'Nishma, which means we will take the job through thick and thin. So the Avos Nimos and the Nisim and Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and all of that is all the beginning of the chesed to get us to be able to say Nasa V'Nishma. Once we say Nasa V'Nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris with us, which is the bris we refer to here in Zocher HaBris, which is because you agreed to take this job, and this job entails, we just read the bracha and the klala, lots of, you know, I will hope, you know, you're bound to this mission, to be Or LaGoyim, to bring the world to its ultimate destiny, to bring the Shechina down here, to Kavod Shemayim down here, and you understand the responsibility, and you understand that you have to earn your reward, and that there's also a lot of sanctions, punishments involved if you start slipping, and yet you bought into this, so, and you accepted this voluntarily. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris with us forever, that he will forever do all the chesed that's necessary to make sure that we can hold down that job. However that chesed comes, he will take care of Klal. He will give us a land, Lezarcha Eten Es Ha'aretz Hazos. He will give us a land, and he'll fill that land with crops, and he'll keep that land safe and financially secure. There won't be poverty and illness, and there won't be war, as long as we deserve it and we maintain. We're trying to do our job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant us all the tools necessary to do our job. And then if we start slipping, Hashem will change the situation and tighten the screw so that we'll still be able to do our job. That's just another way of keeping us in doing the job. So this HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris, and part of the bris is that he will never, ever abandon or exchange Klal Yisrael, no matter what our condition is, because we accepted this role, this Midas Hadin role. And therefore, he will do all the chesed, and it comes to us in any number of forms. Sometimes we don't feel it as the chesed, but it's the chesed anyway. And to ensure that we will do this job and see it through till the end. So that's the union of Midas Hadin and Midas HaChesed. Now, that's what happened on Rosh Hashanah. That's the core. That's the core energy of the world. The energy that drives this world is that there's a tremendous amount of chesed pouring down into this world, gifts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bracha, that allows Klal Yisrael primarily to take advantage of all this so that we can build ourselves up, so that we get to a position where, as individuals and as a nation, we function as the vehicle, the merkava, the vehicle here to bring kavod shemayim to this world, and in all the ways, in thought, in speech, and action. So Rosh Hashanah is a day that we understand this. We understand that number one, now into Malchus, the order of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. We understand that the first and primary ingredient is what we speak about in Shemona Esrei first, is that our job in the end is to be mamlech, to coronate, to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king. Which means to say we accept that Hashem is the melech, and we are the servants of Hashem, and we as Jews have a unique role. We say Avinu Malkeinu, which puts together these ideas we were speaking about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, but like the father wants the child to succeed, this is a melech that all this melech wants is that the servants should be able to serve him properly so that he could give schar. So it's almost like a fatherly relationship to Klal Yisrael. And we recognize that all we really want in our core, what every Jew really wants, and if they try to pretend that they don't want this, they'll go crazy in other ways, because this is what the Jew wants. The Jew wants to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Non-Jews also want, but the Jewish person has a more driving force through our historical experience, through our Torah, through our learning, through our role models. It's just overwhelmingly powerful for the Jewish people. They want to live for a purpose, because think of it this way. As long as a person is doing their job and earning schar, they're earning life. That's chayim. If a person's just in taking all the chesed and not using it to train themselves, to bring themselves closer into being someone that's capable of earning schar, because their actions are l'shem shemayim, and what they do is really a mitzvah. But they're actually engaged in a mitzvah, whether it be thought, speech, or action. So the person is living, but not gaining any life. That's the famous idea. We're living temporarily. We're living like the animals. There's no tzelem elokim. There's no connection to life. So what a person really wants, look, all the great kings and you know, have built monuments to themselves. Everybody wants to have life beyond the physical life. Everyone wants to be immortal in some way. Everybody resists dying. Everybody resists being forgotten and irrelevant. So we have in our hands a chance for real chayim. If we can do the job and earn schar. Schar is chayim. Schar is reunion with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, life in the eternal world. Eternal existence. So that's what everybody wants. Of course everybody wants that. So the first thing to acknowledge is in Malchus, that's the essence of Malchus. You're melech, and we want to live in a relationship that we are eternally connected to the melech, who was melech before this world, as we say in Adon Olam, and after. And now, for the time being, Azai Melech Shemon Nikra, we have a short space, a window, that we can call Hashem Melech and be connected to the eternity, live eternally too, beyond our physical existence. That's what everybody wants. Okay, that's step number one, to recognize that that's our core ratzon. And it is everybody's core ratzon. We're hardwired anyway to feel like this. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time created us with a Yetzirah. So we know with our own agenda. So we know with the anochius, right, the individuality of the person, which is the most, we spoke about this, the prison that's hardest to break out of is the prison of anochi. Remember, the Gra says that there are 49 levels of tumah, and every time it says that I took you out of Mitzrayim, any time it mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is 49, 50 times in the Torah, it breaks one of those, you know, prisons of Tumah, one of those gates of Tumah. The 50th gate, the most difficult gate, the most difficult prison, so the wall, the hardest walls to break down, is the prison that every human being lives in, which is the I. What did it take to break down those walls? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundering from the heavens at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Only that experience maybe has potential to break down the Anochi of the individual, hearing the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's the last degree of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of getting out of the prison, which is referred to as Mitzrayim. So we know what we're up against, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're up against. So then we go into Zichronos. Now the whole concept of Zichronos is Zocher HaBris. Now if you look at it, and we mentioned this in our last class, every one of these Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros has a basic explanation of the concept, followed by 9 proof texts, 3 from Torah, 3 from Tehillim, and 3 from Nevi'im, followed by 1 more from the Torah. So if you look in your Machzor, we speak about Zichronos, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering every single person, but the end of the Bracha and the bulk of the 9 proof texts, the 10 proof texts, are Zocher HaBris. The bris we're speaking about is this. There was a bris that developed with the world. First we speak about the bris with Noah. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a bris to have faith in humanity, not to destroy humanity again, that humanity can somehow, some way, reach its designated purpose through Noah, started as a result of the Karbanos Noah offered. However, that bris developed, and we see that bris is reiterated, but increased with Abraham and then Yitzchak and then Yaakov. It's not just a bris not to destroy the world. It's a bris that I will designate your children as long as they are your children and they don't, you know, diverge from the path as Esav did, then they're no longer Zerah. Or Yishmael did, it's not really called Zerah. As long as they're Zerah, they will get Eretz Yisrael, whereby they will express these ideas in their land, and then Hashem promises by bris ben Absarim, I will be for them a God. As long as they, it's a reciprocal thing, keep doing this job and agree to do this job, I will be their personal God. Then this bris is increased again at Har Sinai, where in Parshas Mishpatim and Perek Chaf Dalid, it says that Moshe read the Sefer HaBris after they said Naseh V'Nishma. By the way, the first they said Naseh in Yisrael, then they said Nasa again in Yisrael, and then they said Nasa and Nishma, that's in Mishpatim, later on. And then it's called a bris. Klal Yisrael agreed to this, and Hashem made an even stronger bris with Klal Yisrael, that He will never abandon us and never exchange us. And the final sealing of the bris was in Parshas Nitzavim, where not only did Hashem say, I will never abandon you, Hashem made an even greater promise, that no matter where you are dispersed to, Misham, here's the pasuk, Im Yiye Nidachecha B'Ktzei HaShemayim, if you are, you know, the ones that have strayed away, that have been lost, cast away, are at the ends of the heavens, Misham Yikabetzcha, He will gather them up. He will never let them ultimately disappear. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu will somehow gather the Jews back together, whichever methods. This is all part of the chesed, in order that we should come to be able to do the job that we promised to do. So in Zocher HaBris, what we speak about is first the bris with Noach, then the bris Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, when we say Al Yidei Avdecha, when we get to the third part about the Nevi'im, we say, Haloch v'karasa ba'azne Yishalem, go call out in the ears of the people of Yishalem. Ko amar Hashem, Hashem says, Zacharti lach, I remember chesed nurayich, the chesed of your youth, avas klulosayich, the love of your days of being a kala, lechtech acharai ba'midbar, you walked after me into a midbar in a land that was not sown, and also a midbar not knowing what was in store for us. Hashem made a bris for us because we signed on in those early days, and Hashem will never forget that. We'll always promise to do the chesed we need, despite the fact that we're struggling and we can't always do the job correctly. We're not always a very good employee. We're always slipping and cutting corners and missing days. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nevertheless, I'll always remember your chesed, and that will bring my chesed to keep you together, so that you'll come to be able to exist in din, and to earn your schar in din. And I think we go on and we quote something else, the Zacharti Esbrisi Osach, I remember the bris I made with you, Bimei Nurayach, when you were yam, V'hakimosi Lach Bris Olam, and I will establish it ever, for it is everlasting, it's forever. And the third quote is, HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim, isn't Ephraim the Jewish people, a precious child, Yeled Shashuim, a delightful child. Kimide dabribo zachar eskerenu od, as I mention him, myself, I will remember him, my innards yearn for them, I will take pity on him, I'll have rachmanis on them, because I remember what you've done. Now, in the Mishnah, every Yontiv, I think we mentioned this, is Pesach Sukkot is called the days, whatever it is, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaPesach. The only Yontiv out of the three Regalim and the Yomim Noraim that is called a Yontiv in the Mishnah is Rosh Hashanah. Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. And the explanation is that the Mishnah calls it a Yontiv because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in remembering the Bris, to do all the chesed in any form that it's necessary so that we could get to be worthy of our schar according to din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that he will remember the bris and remember every good intention that every Jew ever had, that they wanted, they wish they could do the job, even if they're not able to do it. And he'll put it all together and guarantee that the Rosh Hashanah, which is for everybody a Yom HaDin, will be for Klal Yisrael a Yom Tov. A day that will come out good. It's a guarantee. And then we move into Shofros. And Shofros is we don't have Shofar on Shabbos this year. But Shofar on Sunday. Shofar is secondary Yontif. Shofar is guarantees for us and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that each individual Jew, and Klal Yisrael as a whole, but it's an individual tefillah, will be guaranteed, will be looked at as a person that is capable and of doing the job and therefore worthy of all the chesed that needs to be poured into that person's life to get them to the point. Now, how does that work? First, we have to understand that the origin of the mitzvah of shofar, it never says you shall blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It says in Parshas Pinchas, which is where we always read about the karbanos, like right here, when we read karbanos, it comes from Pinchas. Okay, Kedushas Hayom, in the bracha, b'chodesh ha-shavi, b'echad l'chodesh, mikra kodesh yelachem, kol melechas avod elosasu, yom teruah yelachem. That's how it's stated. It's a day of teruah. Doesn't say actively blow the shofar. It's called Yom Teruah. Doesn't say Yom Tekiah. Yom Teruah. From here, we learn the mitzvah of blowing shofar, because I'll learn it out from here. Now, this Pinchas is where we find the Karbanos Hayom. Unlike Parshas Emor, where we always find the mitzvahs Hayom, like eating matzah, blowing, sitting in a sukkah. That's in Emor, the mitzvahs Hayom. Pinchas is exclusively dealing with the Karbanos Hayom. You find shofar learned out from Pinchas. So you know that shofar is like the Karbanos. And Karbanos are a tefillah. So the shofar is a tefillah. Now, what type of tefillah is the shofar? Well, very interesting. If you look at the proof text in the shofar section, the three that come from Torah, the Divrei Katshecha, right? The three that come from Torah, Kakasov, Besorah, Secha, all speak about the shofar of Har Sinai. So, for example, Vehi B'yom HaShlishi, it was on the third day, B'yos Boker, in the morning, there were kolos, Sobrakim, thunder and lightning, Anon Kaved Al-Hahar, a big cloud on the mountain, V'kol Shofar Chazak Me'od, and a very powerful sound of the shofar, and the nation trembled in the Machaneh. That's quote one. Quote 2, Vayhi kol ha-shofar holech v'chazek ma'od, the sound of the shofar increasingly got stronger. Moshe spoke and Hashem responded with a call, a voice. This voice is very important, a call. Third pasuk, chol ha'am roem es ha-kolos ves ha-lapidim ves kol ha-shofar, everyone saw the sounds and the flames and the sound of the shofar and the mountain smoking and the nation trembled and stood far away. So the three here speak about the call on the shofar and Har Sinai, and that, of course, is the bris that Hashem made with us at Har Sinai. However, when we go into Tehillim, we don't speak about Har Sinai at all. Now, when we speak about Tehillim, we don't talk about Tekiah. We don't talk about a call of the Tekiah, which is we know that the shofar of the Har Sinai was a Tekiah, right? So now, when we speak about Tehillim, we say Allah Elokim Betruah. And it's a Yom Teruah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ascends through a Teruah blast. Now, you know the Shvarim and the Trua are they're just the machlokas on how you make the broken sound. The Trua is the broken sound. Okay, there are many different minhagim of how to do those sounds, many different ones. By the way, in Yeshiva Rockaway, usually Rosh Hashanah afternoon, Rabbi Brafman goes, blows the shofar and does all the various minhagim of all the different countries of how to blow the shofar. It's very interesting. But in any case, we speak about Elohim ascends in Trua, Hashem, Yudkevavke, in the call of the shofar. Then we speak about Bechatzosros, and the call of the shofar, Hariyu, which is another form of Trua. And then we speak about how, there's actually four here because there's a machlokas on one of them. Tiku b'chode shofar, b'kesel yom chagenu, blow shofar in the on Rosh Chodesh, which doesn't specifically talk about Rosh Hashanah, because it hides the yom of our chag. And then there's one more, halalu b'tziltzulei trua. See, one of them doesn't have the trua in it. It's a bit of a machlokas because all other three have the mention of trua. It's a yom trua. And then, al yidei hanaviim, we speak about another shofar, another tzkiya, not the tzkiya of Har Sinai, and not the trua of our day-to-day, our Rosh Hashanah, our yearly life. But the neviim speak about what? And these are the neviim achronim, the tzkiya of Mashiach of La'asid Yava, V'chol Yoshvei Tevel, and all of the inhabitants of the world, the dwellers of the earth, shall see that Israel has been gathered as if a banner was raised on the mountaintops, and you shall hear it as if a shofar was sounded. That's number one. Second, Vayah Bayomahu, and will be on that great future day, Yitaka B'shofar Gadol, blow a great shofar, Bo Ha'ovdim, Be'eretz Asher, all the lost ones, V'hanidochim, and the ones that are cast away, the Eretz Mitzrayim, in the most furthest reaches of the gates of Tumah, of Mitzrayim. They'll come back in the end of days. V'nemar, and it says, V'Hashem Aleihem Yeirah, and Hashem will appear to them, and his arrow will go forth like a flash of lightning, and Hashem Elokim will sound the shofar, and etc. So the three last ones speak about the end of days. So we have a tekiah of Har Sinai, of the Bris. A tekiah of the ultimate promise that no one will be lost, and in the middle, the Tehillim, the Truas. That is how we arrange our shofar. The shofar blasts are a tefillah. A tefillah. What type of tefillah? Well, when we stood at Har Sinai, that's when we first heard the shofar, it got stronger and stronger. And Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, and we've also spoken about that here, that it's very careful. He brings Pesukim from Devarim that you know there were no sounds uttered, no words. No words. The Pesuk in Devarim says that you didn't hear any words, you heard a call. Later on, the Rambam explains, by the way, just on the side, that Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu all heard the call of the first two Dibros with the shofar together in the same way. They were all on the same level of nevuah and apprehended the call the same way. And Moshe says to them, what you experienced, you didn't hear words. The experience you just had, if it needed to be expressed in words, the words are, you heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but you knew it viscerally. You experienced it. You heard the sound that spoke those words to you without having to say the actual words. That Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and lo yielocha Elohim acherim, that nothing else exists, or should, there's no other purpose. They understood this in the core of their being. That is the call. The call is an inarticulate sound that there aren't even the right words, the enough words to express the awareness that comes from that sound, from that call, the voice of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Klal Yisrael heard. They knew to the core of their being that the Anochi of Hashem would swallow up their Anochi, and that this is all they really wanted, and that this would keep them away from all the Sheker forever. Somehow, some way, they'd always find their way back to the Emes. Anochi is all the assays, all the actions, all the proactive. Lo Yelecha is all the negative, all the Gevura. It's also all the Chesed that Hashem will do for us, and all the Din. That's the two forces. Anochi is the positive, Lo Yelecha is the negative. And we're aware of both forces operating within us, and we serve Hashem in both ways. A restraint from that which will kill ourselves off spiritually and a desire to come close to the things that will give us life. That was the call of the shofar, the call of the bris, and every Jew heard it and felt it in their core. But during the course of our lives, we sometimes we can't hear, we block out that sound, or we lose track of that sound. And then when we look at our lives look to us like a trua, like moments, moments of inspiration, moments, but with big gaps in between, big empty voids in between those moments, moments of clarity, moments of motivation. That's the trua. It's the broken-hearted cry. The Zohar says the deepest groan of a human being when they recognize their shortcomings. Don't forget, every time we act as a true servant of Hashem, serving Hashem correctly with our thought, our speech, and action, we are Tzelem Elokim. We are alive. We exist. And all the time we just act without any thought of that. We act, we do things, and we speak about, and we think about things that have no relationship to that. We're not living. We're not living. They're empty spaces. They're moments of death. If a person could put together all the moments of action, of true living in their whole life, it scares us to death to think about it. How many years did we actually live? Take away sleeping and all that. How many years did we live? If you count moment by moment, 5 years, 10 years of an 80-year life? If you count just the moments, it's a terrifying thing. So we look at our lives, as Zohar explains, and the Nesiv HaShalom says it so beautifully, when the trua is brings us, it's a cry, it's the call of the shofar, but as it's expressed in our reality, it sounds like a trua, a broken-hearted cry, and of the reality of the broken, the chivron, the brokenness of the human being. And a person sees that. We're not lying to ourselves. We see that. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise, and that's implicit also in the tshuva. We know that with tshuva, what does tshuva mean in the end? We're not doing vidur in Rosh Hashanah. We're not apologizing for any particular action. Tshuva is a return. Returning to our point of tachlis, returning to the goal, returning to the inner yearning that we really have to really be able to do the job, as to be able to be worthy to do the job, to be who HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be, and earn our schar legitimately, to really live, to really fill those empty spaces with tshuva me'ahava, those voids become full. That turns the avera into a zechus, and all of a sudden the trua isn't broken sounds anymore, not disjointed moments, but the trua starts to sound once again like a tzkia. A tzkia means that when we look at our life story, after we're gone, what we really want is that when they speak about us, or when people remember us, or when we remember ourselves, we can actually see our life as having a beginning, right? That's really the life of every Jew and the Jewish nation, of accepting the bris, of Korei, being Korei's bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Har Sinai, of knowing our tachlis, and then our life being a seamless, harmonious, continuous progression, like a tkia, not of shvarim, not just a bunch of chaotic moments strung together, you know, but rather a tkia. And then we recognize that in the trua is built in the possibility to turn it into a tekiah. And then we sound a tekiah after the trua of Achris Hayamim, which is a guarantee to every Jew and the nation that we will be able to fill in those gaps, and it will be a tekiah gadola, and the Jewish people will come to their designated, to the goal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected from us. And Hashem promises us, ki lo yidach mimenu nidach, no body will be lost. Kadosh Baruch Hu will somehow bring people and maybe their grandchildren back, their great-grandchildren back. Somehow the shorashim, the roots, will continue to exist in Klal Yisrael. So we recognize that two things happen here, and this is the quote that we say in Shofar. So we say the following. We say, hold on. I'm sorry, where am I looking for it? me 1 second. You say, where is that? Why am I missing it? Maybe it's a mouse. Hold on. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. It's in the beginning of Malchus. It's in the beginning of Malchus. Kakasu v'sarasecha. It's the second one. Lohibit oven b'Yaakov. He will not look. Kadosh Baruch Hu will not see iniquity in Yaakov. That's Klal Yisrael in its lowest form. V'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not see evil in Israel. Hashem Elokav Imo, Hashem, their God, is with them. Utruas Melech Bo, and the Trua of the Melech is among them. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that as long as we know the Trua, understand that the Trua represents the person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that means we remain in the bris. As long as we can experience that the Trua is our personal awareness of where we're at compared to what we hope to be, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees us that we will succeed. Here's the pasuk is here. Ashrei ha'am yodea Trua. Yodei Trua. How fortunate is the nation that knows the Trua. Hashem ba'or panecha Yahalechon, Hashem, in the light of your face, we will walk. Now that's two different things. That's telling us the two energies, the two powers of the Trua. The nation that knows the Trua knows not that they blow the shofar, but they know viscerally, as we knew on Har Sinai when we were first Koreis Bris for ourselves and our generations forever after, we knew the sound of the shofar and what it meant and how it drew us up and inspired us. And now we know the Trua. So then if we know that, then there's a promise, Hashem ba'or panecha yaleichon, they will walk ba'or panecha with the light, which means that that was also the Hashem on the mountain, was that we are guaranteed that we'll walk that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that then nobody will be lost. There's one more nuance to this concept. When we blow the second shofar, we're koreis bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tkiyah at the end of the Shvarim Trua. What's happening is we are koreis bris one more time. The tkiyah at the end of the shofar is another return to the bris. There's the original bris, which we know so well that we signed on to and we truly want. That's the first tkiyah. The midas hadin, the schar that we'll earn, that we'll truly live because we deserve to live because we behaved in a way that gives us life. Then the shvarim, which we know is our reality. We don't even have to express it in words. And then the tkiyah that we're koreis bris again. We go back to the bris. Now, here's the thing. The reason the shofar is a kol, it's an inarticulate sound. It's a groan, like the Zohar says, from the deepest core of our essence, but there's more to it. We don't ask anything on Rosh Hashanah for ourselves. In fact, the Zohar says that if a person comes to Rosh Hashanah and starts being mevakesh, for like you do during the rest of the year, for health and wealth and happiness, it's like a dog barking, hav, hav, hav. Gimme, gimme, gimme. It's not the point of the tefillah at all. The point of the tefillah is this, as we say in the beginning, Zachreinu l'chayim, and we have a question, you know, these three first brachas are shevach, and we have a black and white rule. You don't make a bakasha in the shevach section of Shemona Esrei. In the praising Hashem section, you do not introduce a bakasha request. So how do you say Zachreinu l'chayim? The answer is built in. L'mancha Elokim chayim. This is not asking for life, just give us so that we can live and do whatever we want. All we're saying is all the chesed, all the chayim that you give us, so that we can use it to fulfill the real purpose, leman cha, for your sake, so that we can live, and it's in order to do the job you put us here for, so that we can earn the schar that you want to give us. Now, here's the secret, I mean, that we kind of know viscerally, that's why we don't ask for anything. We don't know. We know we need food and clothing and shelter and Yerushalayim, and that's what we say every single day during the year in Shemona Esrei. But does a person really know the circumstances and the situations they need to go through in order to bring them to a situation where they can serve Hashem in their way, with their thought, with their speech, and with their action? Nobody knows. Nobody even knows what they need. We know what we basically need in a generic way. We need what we ask for on a daily basis in the regular Shemona Esrei. But every person is an entire world. This is the anniversary of Brias HaAdam, and every person is an entire Adam, an entire world to themselves. And every person needs different training, different circumstances, different tools to get them to a point where they are an example of an Eved Hashem, a person who serves Hashem, through their way. Certain people, like the book that I've been reading, which is astonishing, which we mentioned last time, like of the Klosenberger Rebbe, or this Holy Woman book, which is the other book I read recently. The fact that the Kaddish Baruch Hu gives one person so many challenges, so much disappointment, so much tsar in their life, so much physical and emotional suffering, so that that person can bring out from their potential to the reality their enormous Avas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim, and be then a role model to everybody else. Who knows what they need to endure for themselves, for Klal Yisrael, to bring out their greatest potential? How can a person ask? We don't even know what it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows us best. So the shofar, the truah, is a broken sound of my reality, that I know how short I'm falling from that being consistent all the time, from earning schar, from earning chayim. But the tzkiah also, like the tzkiah by the moment of creation of ourselves as Jews, Har Sinai, says Anochi. It says, you know me. Your Anochi makes me into an Anochi, but in a positive way. There's an I, an individual human being recreated on this day. And only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, know what I need to exist. All I can say is, I'm here, and I'm ready to do the job, but I don't even know what to ask for, because I don't even know myself as you know me. So all I can say is, and this is the kavana in the tzkiah, is that it's a call. It says, I'm ready. I exist for a purpose, and I know what my purpose is. I know what my ratzon is. And Hashem says, Harkav pichav amaleu, open your mouth as wide as possible and I will fill it. As much as a person wants to accept all the tools that they will need so that they're able to do the job correctly, they're ask Hashem for those tools. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a person. Those opportunities will come to a person. So all we have to do is be ready. So the avoda on Rosh Hashanah in the mind, when we hear the shofar and we say these things, is only to reaffirm for ourselves on this day of our recreation, of being Adam once more, that what we really want, what our ratzon is to be worthy and capable of earning eternal existence, to being able to do the mitzvahs in whatever form they come, properly l'shem shamayim, and to adhere to the mitzvahs, and to restrain from the averus, and to be a Kiddush Hashem, to serve Hashem every day in everything we do, which takes into account the person has to learn continuously. An only way to keep this perspective alive and to keep this motivation alive in a person, there's no options, especially in this door and what is going on, you know, just the world we live in. It is a ocean that everyone will drown in unless they continuously learn, continuously surround themselves with people that are growing and learning and inspiring themselves. If a person loses hold of that, they are doomed. There is no salvation. It is overwhelming. And look around everywhere. So all a person has to do, I mean, it's a big avoda, but it's simple on Rosh Hashanah, is to know that in their heart of hearts, they really want to live. They want to live purposefully. And then they understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they seize that will and made a bris with us, because that's the will of every Jew and of Klal Yisrael, will not let a person wander off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let a person wander off if that's what they want. Ein davar omed b'fnei haratzon. If that's the ratzon of a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let them wander off. It's a promise. Lo yidach mimenu nidach. Nobody will be cast away forever. Everyone will be gathered back in. And the person has a possibility of turning their trua, their broken life, into a tzkiah, into a life that's a trajectory from the beginning to the end in one direction. A person can think away all their mistakes, as we spoke about last week, just by wanting to be able and worthy to do the original job that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, to exist midas hadin. So we just hope, and we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that if a person wants this, it's the done deal. Later on, there's time for tshuva on all the mistakes. But this is the first thing to establish. The Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. This is the most fundamental thing to establish. So that's the ratzon of the person. I think we mentioned last week, and this will end, about the Rambam with the weighing the mitzvahs and averus, right? Rambam says in Rosh Hashanah, Kadosh Baruch Hu weighs the mitzvahs and averus of a person. Kol shel tzuchu yasov, meruven al avonosov, nikra tzaduk, nechtam l'chaim, right? It's not quantity, it's quality. I've mentioned this so many times, I'm sure you've heard it. It's not quantity, it's quality. Obviously. So if a person has more mitzvahs than averas, and Hashem figures out how to do that, Tishrei is the maznayim, the libra, the scale. It's an ancient wisdom that this is the time of the weighing, right, of the person's deeds. So if a person has more mitzvahs, then averus, they're called a tzaddik, and they're nechfam l'chaim, they're written down for life. When we say kosveinu b'sefer achaim, write us down in the book of life, what we really are saying, because Hashem doesn't write things, is we have a chance to write ourselves into the sefer achaim if all we really want is that kind of real chaim. That's our chance. So a person is nechfam l'chaim just because they have one mitzvah more than an avera, quality-wise. Right? We don't know how Hashem counts them. What does that mean? That the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not looking at every single mistake a person made. Of course people are going to make mistakes. It's the nature of the beast. That's who we are. What the Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking at is simply, what are you more? That's all. Just one bit more. If that's what you're more, then you're a tzaddik because that's what your ratzon is. And chas v'shalom the other way. So what a person needs to do in Rosh Hashanah is just affirm what their ratzon is, what they are more, that they want to be able to be alive, to have real chayim. Why? Lemancha. For your sake. And that's what Hashem wants us to have. If a person can affirm that on Rosh Hashanah, then they're worthy of life. And they're written down for life. And they start all over again to try to become the people they hope they would be, that they're capable of being, and then Hashem promises them they will become, with Hashem's help, with all the chesed that Hashem will give them to help them become that person. And the person's job is only to see that all that comes into their life is part of Hashem's effort to help them become the kind of person that they really want to be. So everyone should have a ksiva v'chasima tova. And wonderful yantar. This year is a refuah shleima for Avram Zev ben Elka.